God Almighty, the great I am, who is worthy, none beside thee. God Almighty, the great I am. I want to be near to your heart, loving the world, but hating the dark. I want to see dry bones living again, singing as one, hallelujah. Holy, holy, God Almighty, the great I am. Who is worthy? None beside thee, God Almighty, the great I am.
Your prayer this morning. I want to be close, Lord.
I want to be close, close to your side, so heaven is real and death is a lie.
Yeah.
I want to hear voices of angels above singing as one. The great I am, who is worthy, none beside thee, God Almighty, the great
Hallelujah.
I am. Hallelujah, holy, holy, God Almighty, the great I am, who is worthy.
Run and flee at the mention of your name, King of Majesty. There is no power in hell or any who can stand before the power and the presence of the great I am. The great I am. The great I am.
Sing that with us. Come on, declare it. The mountains shake. The demons run and flee.
There is no power in hell or any who can stand before the power and the presence of the great I am. The great I am. The great I am.
The great I am, the great I am.
demons run and flee at the mention of your name, King of Majesty. There is no power in hell or any who can stand before the power and the presence of the great I am. The great I am. The great.
Sing the mountains shake before him in just a moment. How many believe that the demons flee when you mention the name of Jesus? I just feel like there's a spiritual release and breakthrough for some people here today and for the church as a whole. You know, we're fasting and praying, believing for God to move in our midst. I appreciate you being on board with us, the leadership of the church, and fasting and praying. How many of you are believing for a breakthrough in your life, for your church? For some situations that's going on in your life, I'm believing God for breakthrough. And I'm here to tell you today that you have authority in the name of Jesus. You have power in the name of Jesus. And as we sing this, I want you to declare it in the spirit. Declare it in the spirit realm. The mountains shake before him. The demons run and flee at the mention of the name of Jesus. I want you to mention his name and shout at his name this morning. Come on, let's sing it together.
Oh, the mountains shake before you, the demons run and flee at the mention of your name,
Jesus.
Oh, there is no power in hell or any who can stand before the power and the presence of the great I am. The great I am. The great I am.
Give him glory in the house. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want you to turn in your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 19. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. As you're turning there, I feel like the Holy Spirit has prompted me to begin where I left off last week. I brought to you the passage of Scripture from Ephesians chapter 5. I talked to you about the the importance of maximizing the time that God has given us to seize those opportunities, because the days are evil. See then that you walk circumspectly, carefully, not as fools, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but he said, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Remember? Then he said, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation. That would not be a good thing for you. Basically, what he's saying is it's foolish. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Everybody say, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 18. I'm sorry I told you 19 before, but we're going to start in chapter 18. Acts 18, verse 24, and then we'll move into Acts 19 through verse number 7. The scripture says, verse number 24, Acts 18. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, and when Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Verse 27, and when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace, for he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. Chapter 19, and it happened, while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. Would you stretch your hand toward me and pray with me today? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the infilling and the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that your Spirit would flood this atmosphere. Your Spirit would flood every heart and every life and every mind and every spirit. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you would flood us to the point, Lord, of being so full that we have to share what you have done in us and for us with other people. That it would overflow, God, into the streets, Lord. It would overflow where we are every single day in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth, right here in Asheville, Lord. It would overflow. Holy Spirit, do your work in us today. I pray that everything that's not of you would be removed from these premises. Every thought, every evil spirit, every disturbing spirit, every distracting spirit, in the name of Jesus. Satan, you are bound in Jesus' name. And we command you to flee from these premises. Even now, we take authority in the mighty name of Jesus, and we give you praise, Lord, for free course of your word and for liberty in this atmosphere. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and everybody said, amen. Thank you very much for your prayers. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Be filled with the Spirit. The Bible says that Apollos was an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures. He spent time in the Word of God. He spent time studying the Word of God. He knew the scriptures. He was fervent in spirit. And the Bible says that he spoke accurately the things of the Lord. But there was a man and a woman by the name of Aquila and Priscilla, who many believed operated in the office of pastor-teacher, who when they heard Apollos speaking boldly in the synagogue one day, they took him aside, and they began to explain to Apollos the way of God more accurately, because he was only familiar with the baptism of John. Of what he knew, he taught it accurately. Now let me just stop right here long enough to say that you and I, that you know, no matter where we are in our relationship with Jesus Christ, there is room for growth. There is room for knowing Him better. There is room for getting closer to Him. I've got news for you and for me, for us today. None of us have arrived yet. We don't know everything there is to know about God and about the kingdom of God and about the scriptures. I've read the Bible through many times, and I still feel like I don't know enough. I need to know more. I need to get closer. I need to grow in my relationship with the Lord. So one of the things I want to point out right here is that we need to be willing to speak into others people's lives, and we need, because the Bible says iron sharpens iron, and we need to sharpen one another. We need to help each other in our relationship with the Lord, get closer to Jesus. But the other thing is, we also need to be teachable. We need to be in a place where we can learn, we can receive something else, we can hear something from someone, a word of encouragement or a word of exhortation from someone else, and be willing to be teachable and hear what God is saying. I'm here to tell you today that none of us have arrived, and if you want to get closer to Jesus, you want to be used in His kingdom, you've got to stay humble and stay teachable. You see, Apollos could have gotten all puffed up like a strutting peacock and said, "You can't teach me anything. You can't teach me anything about God. I already know the scriptures." But that's not what he did. The implication of the scripture is that Apollos received with humility and meekness the word of the Lord that he had for him. And if there's something that God wants to say to me, I'm hungry to hear it. I don't know everything. You don't know everything. But we've got to have the attitude, "Lord, speak to me. I pray for a fresh word, a fresh revelation, a fresh perspective of what you're saying. I need a fresh outpouring of your power in my life." This reminds me of James 1 and 21 when he said, "Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls." It doesn't matter how many times I've heard a scripture or a passage. I'm here to tell you that God's Holy Spirit can breathe that word into your spirit. It can be so fresh, it's like hearing it for the first time. That's what God does for us. So what was it that Aquila and Priscilla were sharing with Apollos? What was the more accurate understanding that they brought to him? The context gives us the most likely interpretation. Apollos, the scripture says, only knew of the baptism of John. What was the baptism of John, you ask? The baptism of John was a baptism of repentance, turning away from sinful behavior and turning toward righteousness. How many of you know that that is the foundation of our lives? You can't go on and receive anything else in the kingdom of God until you start at the basics. You start at the foundation, which is the baptism of repentance, turning away from sin and turning to Jesus, who then clothes us in His righteousness. Isn't that what John was telling those who showed up to be baptized by him? He said, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Some of you just want to come down here and get baptized in water because you think it's a cool thing to do. But what you need to do is get sin out of your life. You need to repent and get to know who Jesus is. And once you do, you can come down here and then I will baptize you. You need to bear fruits worthy of repentance. You need to show by your lifestyle that you have changed and that you know who Christ is. And the old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. There needs to be something that shows that you've identified your life with Christ and you're now a different person because of Him. That is the baptism of John. That is the foundation of our lives. So we hear about this baptism in Matthew 3 and 10. But we also hear about another baptism. Listen to it. Here's what John said. I indeed baptize you with water into repentance. Hallelujah. But he who is coming after me. Oh, hallelujah. How many of you know that a true man or woman of God will always be pointing others to Jesus? They won't be pointing them to themselves. They won't be saying, look at me and look at who I am and look at what I've done. I'm here to tell you that you and I are nothing without Jesus Christ. It's because of Him we live and we move and we have our being. It's because of Him we're able to get out of the bed every morning and be able to say, and this is another day that the Lord has given me. He's the one that gives you the breath, that the very next breath you take, it comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, there's one coming after me. Oh, hallelujah. There's one, always be aware of those who are always pointing to themselves and how great they are and all the wonderful things that they do. I'm here to tell you that the kingdom of God is not built on man. It's not built on those kind of personalities. It's built upon those who are pointing others to Jesus. I'm here as a messenger of the Lord today. I'm here to point you to Him. If you look to me, you will find fallacies. You will find faults. You will find failures. You'll see so many shortcomings if you look close enough. But I'm here to tell you today, you don't have to look to me as your Savior. You don't have to look to me as your help. You've got to look to Jesus Christ. He is the one I'm pointing you toward today. It's Jesus. There is one coming after me whose sandal straps I'm not even worthy to stoop down and loose. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. Hallelujah. I'm talking about a distinct baptism other than the baptism of repentance. I'm talking about the baptism of the Spirit in Jesus Christ. Anybody know what I'm talking about today? Jesus makes it clear that Pentecost is an experience distinct from the new birth. Acts 19, our present passage, is a good example of this. Jesus clearly spoke of another experience that would occur after He ascended to heaven. He said in John 16 and 7, nevertheless, it is to your advantage. The King James says, it is expedient that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, He will come. I will send Him to you. You may say, I thought the Holy Spirit was already on the earth when Jesus was present. Why is Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit coming after He ascends to heaven? The answer is the Holy Spirit was on the earth when Jesus was present, but not in the way that Jesus was talking about. Jesus was referring to a distinct experience that would occur on the day of Pentecost. I believe it's time we get back as a church. We get back to our roots and we begin to believe that there is still such a thing as being saved, as being sanctified, as being filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance, and we pray until we pray through. I dare say that so many believers today are not praying like they ought to be praying. It's time to get down on our knees again, get down on our face before God and pray until we've prayed through, until tongues of fire fall upon us, until fire from heaven burns, until the wind of the Spirit blows, until we have such an urgency in our spirit that we can't help but share with somebody else that Jesus Christ is Lord, that Jesus can save you from sin, that He's your hope. Pentecost was an annual Jewish festival, also known as the Feast of Weeks, celebration of the first buds of the harvest. Jewish men were required to go to Jerusalem three times a year and celebrate those three feasts. Passover in the spring, the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost in the summer, and then Tabernacles at the end of the harvest in the fall. Those who became Christians on Pentecost were the first fruits of a vast harvest of millions of souls. And we read about it in Acts chapter 2, in verse 1. He said, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Think about it with me. Imagine this with me. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues or cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat up on each and every one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Let me just draw attention to that word began for a moment. How many of you know that when they spoke in tongues on the day of Pentecost, that's exactly what that word is telling us. They began. It means something was started then and it continued on. It continued on in Acts chapter 10. And it continued on here in Acts chapter 19, 27 years later. And how many of you know that over 2,000 years later, it's still going on today? People, I believe there's over 7 million, if I understand correctly, Pentecostals in the world today who proclaim to be baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. I'm here to tell you today, I'm not ashamed of my heritage, and I'm not ashamed of my roots. I'm not ashamed of His power. We need His power now more than ever before to accomplish His purpose. We're going to talk about that specifically in just a little bit. Are you trying to tell me, Pastor, that my salvation is not enough? No, that's not what I'm telling you at all. There is absolutely nothing that can replace salvation or the baptism of repentance, that foundation that I've been describing. Just like a house has to have a foundation, your spiritual house has to have a foundation. And it's salvation in Jesus Christ. Knowing that you have been washed in the precious blood of Jesus and that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm talking about knowing that you are born into the kingdom. Do we have any saved folk in the house of God today? You know you're saved and you're not ashamed of it. You're proud of it. And you're willing to tell others about it. I mean, John 3:3 says, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Romans 10:13 says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:9-10 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Being filled with the Spirit does not replace one's salvation, but is a remarkable continuation of it. Being filled with the Spirit is a response to Jesus' command in Luke 24 and Ephesians chapter 5. Listen to Luke 24 for a few moments. Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. Verse 49, listen. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Tarry. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. That word tarry speaks of waiting with perseverance and with expectation. That is what we've lost in the church today. We've lost this sense of waiting with perseverance and expectation. And one of the reasons we've lost this sense of waiting is because everything's available to us at our fingertips. And we think the kingdom of God operates like the iPhone 7 or the 8 or what is it, the iPhone 10, whatever it is now, the Moto X, I think it is, or something like that. I don't keep up with all that stuff. How many of you know that Jesus don't operate on our timetable? I believe he's calling you and I back to a place of tarrying again. Until we wait upon him and wait upon his power and wait upon his breakthrough and wait upon his anointing and wait upon him to show up and to show out and do what he wants to do in our lives and in our midst. We need to get back to tarrying again. When's the last time you just got in a prayer closet and you shut the door behind you and you waited for God to show up? Boy, it got quiet in here. But yet we want God's power. And we want God's blessings. And we want the church to be full of people. And we want souls to be saved. We want lives to be changed. But do we want to wait? I don't know how long they were there. In Acts chapter 2, all I know is they waited until heaven's power showed up in their midst. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Anybody want to be filled with the Spirit today? Anybody long for a fresh infilling of the Holy Ghost today? They all waited until they were endued with power from on high. And how many of you know that the focus was not just on tongues either? The scripture makes it clear that Pentecost is not primarily about tongues. The only purpose that some people link with Pentecost is speaking in tongues. Or with some other kind of manifestation. We certainly believe that tongues is the initial evidence of the baptism of the Spirit, as we see in Acts 2, Acts 10, and Acts chapter 19, and it's certainly implied in other passages like Acts chapter 8. It's implied that that's what happened there as well. However, tongues is not the purpose of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's so much greater than this. Some people think that they haven't had a Pentecostal service unless they've shouted, unless they've danced and spoken tongues or run the aisles. Or some are so conditioned to think that this is what Pentecost is. They don't think God has moved. If these manifestations do not occur, I believe we ought to seek for the Spirit of God to move in our midst. We ought to seek for the spiritual gifts to be in operation. But I'm here to tell you today, my friend, we ought to seek Jesus more than anything else. Don't seek a manifestation. Seek Him. You seek Him and the power will show up. You seek Him and the Holy Ghost will fall. You worship Him in spirit and in truth. He will show up. He'll show up to heal. He'll show up to set free. He'll show up to encourage. He'll show up to work miracles in your life. He'll show up to break bondages. He'll show up and do His work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We don't need to seek a manifestation. We need to seek Jesus. If you don't remember anything else, I want you to remember this. Jesus did not send the Holy Spirit just for our enjoyment. He sent the power of the Holy Spirit for our employment. To be employed for His acts of service. And primarily, to be a witness to those who are lost in this world. And to have a heart for the harvest. Are you hearing me, church? Are you hearing me, my brothers and sisters, my friends? You've got to hear me today. The Holy Spirit's outpouring is about the harvest. It's not about goosebumps. It's not about an emotional experience. It's not about, woo, I felt God today. Oh, what a message a preacher preached today. That's not what it's about. It's about inspiring you and empowering you and enabling you to with boldness to say, I'm going to share Jesus. I'm going to share my faith. I'm going to let God use me. I'm going to let God touch my life with a fire from heaven, with a holy anointing. He's going to use me to be a witness for His kingdom. The real meaning of Pentecost is the harvest. Turn to your neighbor and tell him the meaning of Pentecost is the harvest. I'm going to try to start wrapping this up. It's the harvest. You know, I told you last week, I shared with you a few excerpts from our general overseer. Perhaps you were not here, and I want to reiterate just a few of those. The harvest is about people. It's about lost and dying souls. In your neighborhood, in the neighborhood of our church, have you ever thought about knocking on doors around the church? Just telling them about, hey, just want to let you know that we're here. We love you, and we're praying for you. Inviting them to church? You ever thought about that? Because I believe God is saying to us, we must be careful not to develop a mindset that the church is a place where we go once or twice a week to socialize and feel better about ourselves. Let's don't just go to church. Let's be the church. Is this sinking in with anybody? Let's don't just go to church. Let's be the church. Let's finish what Jesus started. Let's be His witness in the world. You don't have to be called to preach to be a witness. How many of you know that you're a Christian? You're a believer in Jesus Christ. You're called to be a witness. You need His power to witness. You need His boldness to witness. And here, in the words of our general overseer, he said, how do we see our future in the context of the Great Commission? In the words of Jesus in Matthew 24 and 14, when He declared, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then the end shall come. He said, we must be willing to stretch our known paradigms. The way things have been, the way things are, the way that we intend to be, we must be willing to stretch, to change, to adapt, to amend, because anything that does not lend itself to discipleship and reaching the lost for Jesus Christ is a paradigm that must be questioned and amended. Anything that does not lend itself to discipleship and reaching the lost for Christ must be questioned and amended. Jesus laid down His life for the church to be a hospital for the hurting. Not just a place for the saints to get together. A place of forgiveness, a place of healing, a place of restoration. The church was purchased by the blood of Christ to declare to the world that there is hope and there is a purpose for living. Thank God you don't have to wallow in guilt and shame. You don't have to stay in depression. You don't have to stay in oppression or possession. You can be free in the name of Jesus. The church ought to be a place where people are operating in the power of God to set the captives free. Yes, there are many ways in which one can be a witness to others. But the point is that you're witnessing in some form or fashion. Not everybody has the physical ability to get out and go knock on doors. Not everybody has the ability to go help with the food bank ministry. Not everybody has that ability, but some people do. And I believe God is saying, we've got a harvest field right here under our nose. We've got people that show up every single week on Wednesdays, and more of you have gotten involved in that ministry. And I say, thank you, but there's more of you that need to commit, to, even if it's one time a month, or some of you, it might only be one time every 2 months or one time a quarter. But what if everybody did something? Some people can carry food out. Some people can mingle and talk with people and share Jesus with others. Everybody can do something. We've got people who are lost that are showing up on our doorstep every single week that don't know who Jesus is. But I'm here to tell you today, there's a harvest field. There's a harvest field out there. There's a harvest field right here on our campus. There's There's a harvest field. Open up our eyes, Lord. Help us to see what we need to see. Oh, God, and give us your power to go forth in your name and witness for you. You hear my heart? This is my heart. And I say we're at a pivotal juncture as the Biltmore Church of God. Are we just going to stay where we're at and stay comfortable? Or are we going to get motivated and inspired and stirred up to reap a harvest? What an opportunity we have. I said, what an opportunity we have to be used by God in these last days. I don't want to be like some other church in the area. Praise God for what they're doing. We don't need to be jealous of any other church and what they're doing. God bless them all. We need to pray for all of our churches, not just the Church of God, but every church. I refuse to start comparing myself to everybody else. I say, let's be who God's called us to be. Let's get on our face before God and let us be a part of the harvest. Let us be a part of reaching souls. Are you with me? You hear what I'm saying? Because if we don't reach a next generation of souls, if we don't reach our millennials today, if we don't figure out how to connect with them, I don't know what you mean by millennials. I'm talking about those who were born about 1980 and on. If we don't figure out a way to reach them, what will the church look like in 10 years? 20 years, 30 years from now, what will it look like? Because let's just face it, we're all getting older. That's just common sense, right? And people are going to pass on. What will the church look like when we're gone? Well, I don't care what it looks like. I'll be gone. Well, that's a bad attitude. Because it ain't just about you. You're here for such a time as this to make a difference while you're here. To make your mark on the kingdom. And more than anything, I want to be a soul winner. Because at the end of the day, I'm not going to be judged by how many people showed up to church. Did I go after the kingdom? Did I go after souls? Did I empower the church to do that? Did I equip the saints for the work of ministry? And more than ever, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need a burden from the Lord that says, you know what? I am burdened for people who are lost. I'm burdened for that person that I work with. I'm burdened for my neighbors who don't know Jesus. They don't even think about going to church. We've gotten so isolated in our world today, and our culture has just kind of pinned us into this everybody for themselves mentality. But I believe the New Testament is trying to speak to us again. The book of Acts is trying to show us that we can be a New Testament church in the 21st century if we will get back to the basics, we'll get back to what the Word of God teaches, and we'll go back to the upper room and be filled with His power again and say, Lord, open my eyes. Open my eyes. Open my eyes to see what you want me to see. Pastor Tom, if you'll come. I want to be filled with His Spirit. How many of you want to be filled with His Spirit? I'm not just talking about a one-time experience. I'm talking about an ongoing, continual. I want to be filled with the Spirit every day. I need Him now more than I've ever needed Him before. I'm going to wake up tomorrow. I need to be refilled with the Spirit. And how many of you know you can't be filled with the Spirit and be filled with yourself? Let me say that one more time. Maybe that's why a lot of people don't want to be filled with the Spirit, because they're hanging on to themselves. They're hanging on to their junk. They're hanging on to their bondages. They're hanging on to self. You can't be filled with God until you get rid of self. So I think there needs to be an emptying out. Broken and spilled out for the love of you, Jesus. To be filled. To be filled. And part of what I'm talking about right here is this wonderful word that you don't hear a whole lot about today. It's called sanctification. Will you say that word with me? Sanctification. We need to be sanctified again, church. What does that mean? It means to be set apart from the world. Set apart from the ways of the world, the mindset of the world, the philosophies of the world. Quit letting the world squeeze us into its mold. Just because everybody else says it's all right doesn't mean God says it's all right. We need to be set apart from the world unto God. Isn't that what he said in Romans 12? I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world. There it is. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Don't be conformed, but transformed. Say it with me. Don't be conformed, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. How are you going to do that? Through reading God's Word, listening to God's Word, praying His Word, get involved in fasting. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. How can I be filled, Pastor? Well, how did you receive salvation? You asked Him, didn't you? Doesn't have to be complicated. It's just really simple. A lot depends on your level of surrender. How much are you willing to surrender? The heart must be prepared for this blessing. You may need to go back and repent and do the first works. Repentance and sanctification are the foundation of the baptism of the Spirit. And as far as receiving this blessing, it's very similar to receiving Jesus and salvation. And I want you to put this scripture on the screen for me. This very last one. Luke 11:9. Luke 11:9 says, "So I say to you," okay, "so I say to you, ask." Won't you read it with me? You can see it. "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" Oh, I feel His presence. Hallelujah. "How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" Will you stand with me and ask Him? Ask and you shall receive. Ask and you shall receive. Hallelujah. He'll give you the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. If you will say with me, "Pastor, I want to be filled with the Spirit for the purpose of reaping a harvest of souls. I hear your heart. I hear the Spirit's calling me. I'm joining you in this effort." If that is you, come and join me right now in this altar. Come as quick as you can. I pray that every